adding, we keep collecting, we keep amassing. We live with an overabundance instead of living lean, and then poof, it's all gone. So far in this series, we've looked at a number of foundational principles from God's Word on financial health, like practicing contentment, sowing, and reaping. And last week, we took a look at a number of steps we can take to experience peace in our financial world. A number of you are wondering if we could print that out for you. So at the exits of the auditorium, there's a little card here that you can take home, Steps to Financial Peace, if that's what you want to tackle as a commitment in this coming year. Today, we're going to wrap up our series by considering where our money is best invested, and it just might surprise you. While teaching on a hillside one day, the gospel writer Matthew recorded Jesus saying this. This is Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus was telling his hearers then, and he's telling us today, that there is a way that we can pay it forward. There is a way that we can store up treasure in heaven. As stewards of what he's entrusted to us, there's a way that we can invest in eternity while we're here. We can, in the present, pay forward true treasure. But what did Jesus actually mean by that? And how do we do it? How do we invest in forever today? By the way, this was so critical, this idea of storing up treasure in heaven, that it's mentioned 5 times in Scripture. And anytime God says something 5 times, he's wanting us to pay attention. He's wanting us to take note. And here's what he's saying. He's saying that I will forever enjoy whatever it is that I invest in heaven, whatever it is that I pay forward into eternity. Right, we've all heard the phrase, you can't take it with you. It's normally said upon the passing of a person that we know or we're acquainted with. It's true, we can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. We can store up treasure in heaven, the Bible says. So the question is, how do we do that? The Apostle Paul, writing his young protege Timothy, says this, tell those who are rich, and that's you and me, we live here in Canada, one of the most affluent countries in the world. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their pride and trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Everything that God has given us, we're to enjoy. And it's good that we enjoy it. And then he says, tell them to use their money to do good. Right? The Apostle Paul is talking about using money to do good. We talked about this earlier in the series, that money is a tool. Money is a tool to be used and people are to be loved. Right? We often get that wrong. Money is a tool to be used and not loved. People are to be loved and not used. In our society, we often flip that around and we use people and we love money. The Bible says that we are to use money for good, not for evil. We're not to waste it as a resource. Money is neither right nor wrong. It's neither good nor bad. It's a neutral thing. And it can be used as a tool for good or for evil. And then he says, when I use my money for good and invest in eternal things, I'm actually paying it forward. I'm storing up treasure in heaven. In other words, I'm investing in eternity. Again, Paul says this, they should be rich in good works. Right? I should be using my money to do good things and should give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, by using this money to do good, to help others, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. There's that phrase again. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So I'm going to enjoy forever what I store up in heaven, what I send forward into eternity. And I invest in heaven every time I use money for good, investing in eternal things. So how do I do that? Well, the Bible gives us a number of different ways that we can store up treasure in heaven, that we can pay it forward. And the first way is by investing in our own personal spiritual growth. On the back of your worship folder, by the way, there's an opportunity to make some notes. So we do invite you to find a pen and follow along and make some notes here. I can pay it forward. I can invest in eternity by investing in my own spiritual growth. I invest in those things that grow my character. I steward the money that God has entrusted to me to grow spiritually. Proverbs 10 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Right? The writer of this proverb says, godly people use their money to make their lives better, to enhance their journey, to enhance their lives. Evil people, they just simply squander their money. They just waste it. So how can we enhance our lives with the money that God has entrusted to us? We can use it to grow spiritually, to grow emotionally, to grow intellectually. We use it to grow personally, to grow in character. And when we do that, the Bible says we're investing in something that is eternal. I'm investing in eternity. I'm paying it forward. So obviously this is not about acquiring things. Our house, our car, our clothes, our comforts. None of these things are going to go with us into eternity. They'll all be left behind. We're not going to take any of these things that are physical and material. But we are taking our character with us. So God says when you invest money in your character, you're investing in eternity. So how do we do that? Well, anytime you use your money to buy a Bible, to buy a Christian book, a CD, something that helps you grow in character, something that helps you become a more worshipful, more spiritual person, this is a good thing. Anytime you invest your time or energy to participate in a missional community, a Bible study, to go to a conference or a retreat, or you buy a Bible and you study your way through it, you're investing in your character. I came to faith when I was in high school as a teenager. And I still remember the first Bible that I spent some pretty serious money on. At least it was pretty serious money back then. It was a study Bible and it cost around $80. And back in the day when minimum wage was about $4, just a little bit over $4, that was a lot of money. 31 years later, I still have that Bible and I think it's one of the best investments that I ever made. I was investing in my character when I bought that Bible and studied my way through it. If you don't have a Bible, or you don't have good Christian literature that really encourages you in your soul, put it on your Christmas list. Invite those who are wanting to bless you with something that will help you grow spiritually. It's a gift that will help you mature. Proverbs 23 says, invest in truth and wisdom, discipline and good sense, and don't part with them. Or in Proverbs 16, it is much better to be wise and sensible than to be rich. Right? In other words, it's better for you to take your money and put it in something that's going to help you grow than just spending your money on stuff or having money sitting around doing nothing. Right? Some of you will be contemplating getting a membership at a gym in the new year as a part of a commitment to get healthy physically, to grow in your physical strength. That's fantastic, and I really hope that you do it. But have you ever considered making an investment in your spiritual strength, making an investment, spending your time and money to help yourself grow spiritually? Right, look at what the Apostle Peter encourages the believers that he's writing to do. He says, grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right, some of us, let's admit it, spend a good chunk of time and money to grow our muscles. Are you prepared to make the same investment growing your character? Others of us spend a good chunk of time and money eating out. But are you prepared to spend that same kind of time and money on soul food, something that will help you grow your character? Right? The Bible tells us again and again that money is a tool and it's a test. And the first thing that God says to do with your money is to invest it to grow your character. Use money to make yourself better, smarter, wiser, a more skilled person. That's storing up treasure in heaven because as a believer, I'm on my way there and I'm taking my character with me. Another thing the Bible tells us to do in terms of paying it forward is I can store up treasure in heaven by building relationships with others, because they're eternal beings, and hopefully they're headed towards heaven as well. Right? I invest in eternity every time I use money to build relationships with others. I use money to do things that draws me closer to others, relationally, spiritually. The Apostle Paul talked about this when he wrote to the church in Rome. He said, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. He's saying, be very intentional in loving others. Right, did you know that when you spend money on inviting other people into your home, when you are hospitable, when you open your home and your life to them and they come in for a visit, God says it's like making deposits in the bank of heaven. You're paying forward any money you spend doing that because you're building relationships with people who themselves are eternal. It's a divine investment. This is all throughout Scripture. Right, in Hebrews 10 we read, think of ways to encourage one another with outbursts of love and good deeds. He says, invest in various ways of doing this. He's saying, be creative, be innovative, be intentional about lavishing one another with love. Put some thought into it. Spend time and money on this. So anytime you use your money to build relationships with others, to show them you love them, that you allow the love of Christ to flow through you to them, it draws you closer to them and it builds strong relationships. It builds fellowship. And there are so many ways to do this. When you provide a meal for someone who could use one, whether you go and bring it to them or have them over to your place, right? Maybe they're sick or they just had a baby or their family is in need, they lost their job. When you bring a meal to them, you're investing in the bank of heaven. When you give them a gift, when you take care of a need that they have, when you watch someone's children so that they can go to a Bible study, when you cover some of the costs that they're incurring that maybe they can't cover, you're making investments in eternity. You're showing love to them, and you're making an investment that does echo in eternity. Right? The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth in South Central Greece, and he says this to them, this service of giving is a service. It's a ministry. It says the service of giving not only helps the needs of God's people, it also brings many more thanks to God, and it's a proof of your faith. Many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ, the gospel you say you believe in, because you freely share with them. Paul is saying, when we give to help other people and it meets their needs, it brings thanks to God. And it proves to others that we're actually his children. We're part of his family. It's evidence of our faith. It shows that we're genuinely people who have a living faith in Christ, who are living as his hands and his feet in this world, that we're really in God's family and about his business in this world. Right? So some of the best use of your money is to use it to grow spiritually, to use it to build relationships with others. And the Bible says that I can store up treasure in heaven by investing in serving others as well. It's not just in building relationships, but it's in serving them and taking care of some of their needs. Every time I use money to serve others, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. God wants us to take some of the money that we have and use it to help people who are in need. I really don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this one because Grace Point is a generous church. We're part of a network of some 24, 25 churches in Western Canada. And every year, as a group of churches, we participate on Christmas Eve in something called the Christ Birthday Observance or Christ Birthday Offering. And that offering typically goes to support world relief initiatives, leadership development, church planting internationally and domestically, things like that. And in recent years, Grace Point Church has contributed, on average, about half the amount that 25 churches are giving. This is a generous church. When there's a need, Grace Point steps up. Right, and we're going to participate in that Christmas offering again this Christmas Eve. So we have another opportunity to serve others through our giving. The Bible calls this kind of ministry. This kind of giving is called ministry, meeting needs in Jesus' name. Even back in the Old Testament, Solomon wrote this: "Be generous, invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods; spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night." He's saying you don't know when you're going to step out of time into eternity. You don't know when you're going to pass on. You don't know when you're going to die. So start doing your giving now. Give now so that you know where your money is going. Right? Charity, it's one of the virtues, one of the characteristics of someone who has a living faith in Christ. Let me just paint a little picture for you. Imagine that you had an uncle who was a billionaire and he wanted to share his wealth with you. He wanted you to inherit his fortune, but he knew that you needed to be tested first to see if you could handle such an enormous inheritance. So he initially gives you a set amount, a smaller amount, and he says, "I'm going to give you this amount, but I want you to learn to live on less than I'm giving you so that you can use the rest to help other people, because I'm all about helping other people. I'm going to be watching you, and I'm going to see how you manage the money that I entrust to you, how you distribute the funds that I've given to you. And if you do well, then I'm going to share everything that I have with you, and you'll have it all for the rest of your life." How do you think you would use the money that he would give you? You'd probably be very careful and considerate how you use it. You'd be sure not to waste it, not to spend it on frivolous things. You'd learn to probably live on less so that you could help others, because that's what your uncle told you to do, and that's what he's watching for. Because his whole philosophy is, it's not really mine, and I want to make it last and impact other people. See, here's the thing. That's exactly what God has told us to do. He said, "What I'm giving you, I want you to learn to live on less so that some of it can be invested in helping other people." So when you enter having more, when you get more, I don't necessarily want you to just raise your standard of living. Maybe I want you to raise your standard of giving. And the opportunities to make an impact by giving are all around us. Sid mentioned a couple earlier. We've got these Christmas hampers that we're putting together. We still have a clothing drive that we're putting on. We're looking for gently used clothing and new clothing for some of the inner city kids who don't even have a coat when they go out in this weather. We've got the Christ Birthday Observance that we're going to be sharing together on Christmas Eve. Lots of opportunities all around us. The needs are all around us. And the Bible tells us that this is a test of faith. Look what James writes in the New Testament. He says, suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Our faith becomes real when it moves us to make an impact by giving to others, by serving them. This is so important that God has put numerous promises in Scripture all around this. Proverbs 11, we read this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. In other words, the more you help other people who are in need, the more God blesses you. Why? Because God wants you to be like Him, and He's generous. He's a giver. In the New Testament, we read, God so loved this world that He did what? He gave. God wants you to become a giver like Him. Proverbs 19 says, when you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and He will pay you back. This is an amazing promise. You cannot outgive God. It's investing for eternity. Another way that we can invest in eternity, that we can store up treasures in heaven that you might want to make a note of, it's by sharing the good news with others. I invest in eternity every time I use money to bring people to Him, as well as when I support others who are sharing the hope they have in Christ, who go on mission in this world. Those of you who generously supported our youth on their mission trip to Chile earlier in the year, you made an investment in eternity because their lives were impacted, as were the lives of those that they talked to, the people who came to faith because of their work. You made deposits in the bank of heaven by supplying them. And I know some of you, when they were selling donuts in the lobby, you bought some pretty expensive donuts. I saw one of you hand over a $100 bill for a donut, and I think you even gave that donut away. You stored up treasure in heaven by doing that because you made it possible for these kids to go. God wants us to use some of our money to share the hope we have in Him with others. Take a look at what Luke writes in chapter 16. It says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. He's saying, invest in building relationships with people who will ultimately build relationship with God. Help them discover and live into the eternal quality of life that is alone in Jesus Christ, so that when you get to heaven, they will welcome you there. I mean, can you imagine getting to heaven and having people come up to you and say, listen, I want to thank you. It's because of you that I'm here. I want to thank you for sharing your faith story with me because it helped ignite my faith in Jesus Christ. Or you helped send a bunch of youth to Chile or Mexico, and they talked to me about Jesus. They gave me stuff to read about Jesus, and it brought me to faith in Him. Thank you. Or someone comes up to you and says, you know what? You gave faithfully to the Grace Point Church family. You helped build that church. And 10 or 20 years after you passed away, I was led to Christ at that church. I'm here because of what you did. Do you think that will be worth it? Do you think that will be worth it? I mean, there is no better way to spend your money or your life. There is no higher use of your money. Will anybody be in heaven because of you and the strategic investments that you made? Because you decided not to buy what you didn't need anyway, and instead gave to support ministry or support a mission trip where people shared the good news of Jesus. Or you gave to build Grace Point so that little children came to faith in Jesus. Or teenagers came to know Jesus Christ. Marriages were put back together. Families were made whole. People found community with Jesus and with one another. Do you think that this will be worth it? Look what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, you honor God through this genuine act of service and your commitment to spread the good news of Jesus Christ through your generosity and sharing. When we do this, notice it says there, you honor God. How? It's an act of service on His behalf. You're making Him known in this world. You share the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through your generosity. And finally, I can store up treasure in heaven by investing in worshiping God. When I give money to God as an act of worship, that's storing up treasure in heaven. We looked at this verse last week, Proverbs 3:9. It said, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He'll fill your barns, and He'll overflow your barrels. There's that promise that we looked at last week. He says, you give to Me, and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins. Those of you who have done this faithfully will testify that you simply cannot outgive God. And you will testify that God's economy works a whole lot differently than our world's economy. And that when we activate our faith, He does things that we can't anticipate. We talked about giving back to God last week, giving Him the first 10% of our income. So I don't really want to get into that again. But when you do that, it's called tithing. That's the biblical word for giving God the first 10% of your income. Anything above that is called an offering. And the Bible says, bring your tithes and your offerings to God at the place that He has worshipped, the church. By the way, you remember when you were a little kid, how you decided for their birthday or for Christmas one time that you would buy them a little present, something that came out of your pocket, something that you could afford. Looking back now, if you did what I did, and you remember what the gifts that you gave, you probably think, man, those are pretty tacky gifts. But your parents were glad to get them, weren't they? Because those gifts represented that you were thinking of them and that you cared enough to put some effort into getting them something. It was your sacrifice. It wasn't much, because as kids we can't afford much, but it was our willingness to be generous with them, and it was thoughtful. It was the love behind it that meant a lot to them. And it's really no different when we give back to God. Giving an offering to God is the ultimate act of worship, and it brings pleasure to God. It's not that He needs it. He doesn't need it. Psalms tells us that he's the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. This is all His. He doesn't need it. It's just that He wants what it represents, and that's our hearts, and that we give it in love. Jesus said in Matthew 6, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's why God wants us to give back to Him. Because where our money goes, that's where our heart goes. I don't really care a whole lot about the Apple Corporation, the American multinational technology company headquartered in California that designs, develops, and sells consumer electronics, computer software, and online services. I don't care a whole lot about them. But if I wanted to care about that company, I'd buy stock in that company. Because we care about those things that where we put our money. I'm not terribly interested in McDonald's. Had I known how much time we'd be spending there since having children, I would have bought stock in McDonald's. But if I wanted to care about that company, I'd go and I'd buy stock in that company. Those of you who have stock, you pay more attention to what you have invested in than what you haven't invested in, don't you? Where our money is, where our assets are, that's where we start caring. That's where we start paying attention. Wherever I put my money shows my priorities and it shows my values. So here's my question as we wrap up this morning. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? What is it that you value? Where are your priorities? Regardless of what you say is important, there are two indicators of what you truly value. Look at your credit card statements and look at your day timer, your schedule. Because the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money show what you really value, what's important to you. It might even show what you worship. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So my question to you is, where do you want your heart to be? If you want your heart to be with God, then one of the things you do is you invest in Him. You invest in eternity. You invest in those places that are continuing His work in this world. Job 22 says, give up the lust for money. The Almighty Himself will be your treasure. Imagine that at the end of 2018, Canada decided that we were no longer going to use the Canadian dollar and that we were going to adopt the American dollar as the only accepted currency in this country. What's today, December the 2nd? Right, so you got 29 days. What would you do? If you knew that everything was going to be converted to the greenback and at the end of 2018, all Canadian dollars would be completely worthless, you would immediately convert as much of your assets, as much of your money into U.S. dollars, only keeping enough dollars to make it to the end of the year, and you would do that because of this great conversion that you would need to be a part of. And you wouldn't be wasting any of your money because any dollars you didn't convert would be completely useless after that. Well, someday you're going to experience something very much like that on a spiritual level. It's going to happen on the day that your life ends on this planet. It'll happen when you step out of time into eternity. And on that day, you will leave behind all physical things, all your material possessions, and the things this world may value, and only what you have spent on ahead, invested in people, things that are eternal in quality, will be waiting for you there in eternity. Jesus tells us, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. If your treasure is here on earth, what's most important to you are the things of this earth. You need to know that every day you are moving further and further from the things you will ultimately leave behind. Each passing day marks one day less you'll be here on earth. On the other hand, if you're storing up treasure in heaven by investing in your own character and your spiritual growth, by building relationships with others, by serving others, by sharing the hope that you have, and you help people find faith in Christ, and by worshiping God, and you're using your money for good to serve the purposes of God on this planet, you are storing up treasure in heaven when you do that. You're paying it forward. You are getting closer and closer to your treasure instead of further and further away. Jim Elliot, a missionary who died while trying to share the gospel with the Guarani people in Ecuador, once said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose." Where are you storing your treasure? Here on earth or in heaven? Are you investing more in things or are you investing in people, in God's work in this world? Let's pray. You can pray this prayer in your heart. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You can say, "Heavenly Father, I admit that I have spent a lot on things that aren't going to last. Forgive me. I want to start investing in what you value. I want to start investing in eternal things. I want to start storing up treasure in heaven. I want to use my money the way you want me to use it, as a tool for good, investing in what matters to you. So today I commit to using some of my money to grow spiritually, to grow my character, to grow in wisdom and in knowledge, to become all you want me to be. And I want to use some of my money to build relationships with others, because I know that, like me, they're eternal beings with whom you want to spend eternity. Help me to see ways that I can use some of what you've given to me to build love in other people, to strengthen relationships, to help people become closer to you by showing love to them through my gifts and generosity. And Heavenly Father, I want to use some of my money to serve others. I want to learn to be generous, to be a blessing, to assist those who are less fortunate than I am. Give me eyes to see the needs and a willing heart to help. And God, I want to invest some of my money to bring people to you. I want people to be in heaven because I gave, because I invested in mission trips, in Bibles, in materials that could be passed around, in those ventures where the hope and faith that I have in you are being communicated. And Father, I want to show where my treasure is by investing in eternity through my tithes and my offerings to you. I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor you by giving you the first part of all my income. I want to give up my desire and my connection for money so that you as the Almighty might be my treasure. I want to be what you want me to be. I want my treasure to be in you. And help me to remember that I'm not a fool to give up what I cannot keep for that which I cannot lose. And Jesus, as we gather at your table this morning on this first Sunday of Advent to celebrate communion, we want to honor you. We want to celebrate the hope we have in you. We are people who have been called out of darkness into your light. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.